Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Kindred Spirits on HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and my show will be live every fourth Tuesday of every month at 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific Standard Time. I am so excited to have this show and to be able to share with you my thoughts and experiences, as well as those of my absolutely wonderful guests. For those of you who do not know me, again, I'm Lynn Andrews. I wrote Medicine Woman about 26 years ago, and I've written 19 books since then. We have a wonderful four-year school and a graduate program. It's a school of sacred arts and training. I have people that are enjoying that school from all over the world. We also have online courses, and I think without further ado, I would like to introduce Lisa Raphael, my absolutely wonderful and accomplished guest today. She closed a 30-year psychotherapy practice in 1997 to walk her talk and talk her talk in service of spirit. She holds graduate degrees in psychology, counseling, and music. And she says that the greatest teacher that she has had in her life, the greatest university, has been life itself. So without further ado, Lisa Raphael, thank you so very, very much for being on our program this morning.
It's great fun to have a chance to talk to you, Lynn. I don't know if you remember the last time I saw you was at a book signing in St. Petersburg, Florida.
I do remember. Wasn't that incredible?
It was, and that sort of inspired me then to approach you about reviewing my latest manuscript.
Yes, and your latest manuscript is, I believe, Princess from Maldek,
right.
A Visionary Exploration of the Fifth Realm. Nothing wrong with me this morning.
I don't know what time.
Would you talk to us a little bit about your wonderful work?
Well, my work, what I like to say is that my work is my life and my life is my work. And that really says it all. After all this time, I realized that what I'm here for and what everybody here is for is really to become fully themselves. And that involves a lot of inner and outer work in terms of opening the eyes to all the different dimensions of the present, of our present experience.
Why, isn't that the truth? It's such an easy thing to say, oh, well, just become your whole self. And as one of the great teachers of all time, Plato says, know thyself. And that is probably one of the most difficult things in the world. If you truly know yourself and you know who, in fact, is asking that question, then most likely you are leading a very enlightened life. Before we go on, I would love to know something. What prompted your relocation to Kauai in Hawaii?
Well, this relocation was prompted purely by a very mysterious call from Spirit. I was really very happily settled in St. Petersburg, Florida. I'd been there 33 years.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me.
No, I had half my life there. I went there as a young married person. I set up my private practice there. I had 30 years as a therapist there. I reunited with my family. I finally had a little condo which was fixed up exactly the way I wanted it. And I had just finished The Princess from Maldek, actually, and I sort of wondered what was next. And literally, it came into my head, you move to Kauai. I had never even dreamed of Hawaii. People dream of it as this wonderful place. It had never been in my consciousness.
You're kidding!
It absolutely came out of the blue. But it was so strong. It was like, you know, when you make a commitment to spirit, you just have to follow what it tells you.
Well, of course you do.
So, and I didn't know a soul here. I had to look it up on the map.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
I love that.
So, as it turned out, I had planned a retreat at Mount Shasta for October of that year. The call came, literally, I'm standing on the beach at the solstice in, I guess, June of 2007, and I'm standing there watching the sun come up, and I get in my head, the next solstice is going to be in Kauai. And it just built from there. So I did my research, and I was able to visit here for the first time after I came from Mount Shasta. And once I set foot here, I knew it was right. I don't know how to explain it. There's something about the energy of the island and the people I was able to connect with just in that first week.
And that's wonderful. Did you go and stay with a friend?
Once I heard the call and followed up, everything opened up. There was a friend in St. Pete who had lived in Hawaii, and he gave me the connection to a newsletter, which is a sort of a newsletter, and I put a notice there for hosting when I came. And I put notices there saying, I'm coming, I'm moving, I want to connect with the spiritual community. So that even before I came, I had the names of people who responded to that. So I was starting to make the connections. And it was like Wonderland immediately. People I had never seen before, I had never known before. And what it is about here is there is a very strong soul connection, especially in the spiritual community, but also among the people who have lived here a long time. They're more quiet about it. It's
yes.
Inherent in the energy of this island, which
mm-hmm.
is the oldest land on Earth. It is millions of years older than any of the other islands or any other land.
Yes, yes it is. And in fact, one of the first things that the sisterhood, there's one of the women in the sisterhood who is in Hawaii. And you know, I give my, one of my events at, on the Big Island, at the Mauna Lani in the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yeah, you have one coming up there too, don't you?
Yes, it's coming up, the end of November, the 1st of December.
Uh-huh.
And it's a 4-day event, and we give it every year. And, you know, it was really interesting. I thought that surely it would be rejuvenui, my word, for rejuvenating the soul and the spirit. And it ended up being one of the strongest, most powerful events that we ever have had. And so every year that we do it, it is rejuvenui, and I give people a lot of time, Lisa, to enjoy themselves, enjoy the incredible islands, but the islands are so powerful. I did one of my very first treks, adventures into the unknown with the sisterhood in the Valley of the Lost Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, you could still go into the valley. I think that even the trails now have disintegrated, but they took me in by helicopter, and they left me there for several days. It was something that, you know, we just did. And it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And it was really one of the, you know, huge beginnings of my journey with my teachers from around the world. And I know what you're saying. Kauai is very familiar to me. I've been there many, many, many times. And it has a very old, old soul.
Yeah, definitely the soul of the island. The thing that was most striking to me was on the last day of my very first visit, I was drawn to go up to the Grand Canyon here.
Yes.
And I was given to sit down and meditate, and I did, and I sat down for 20 minutes, and I did a meditation. And as I was getting up, I heard this voice in my head, and it said, now kiss the ground. And I can almost get tears in my eyes when I remember that. I have never kissed the ground or thought of doing that anywhere. And it insisted. And that's what I carried with me. It's like the spirit of the island told me, you're home.
Isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful. Your early life, Lisa, was one of victimization, I believe. And how does one transform an experience of powerlessness into the power to follow one's own path?
I think it's basically a matter of waking up to the bigger reality. The first stage I went through, and I think a lot of people may go through this, was to deny that I was a victim at all. I really blocked out the whole experience of having my life disrupted by the Holocaust and decided that I was going to be in charge of my life, and I took control. And this was not a bad thing because it led me to balance the karma. You know, I was going to show the world that nothing was going to stop me. And so I made all sorts of adventures that are in my early books. You know, I just took off and decided I was going to see Europe somehow and worked my way around and had many, many adventures. In the end, that didn't serve me. By the time I was 50, I had actually completed a certain part of the karma, because what had happened 50 years early was that I, you know, my stable life was disrupted, you know, taken away from everything familiar. And by 50, I had a marriage, and I had an extended family, and I had a thriving practice, and everything that I thought I had lost had come back to me through my efforts, through just this defiance and determination. Well, I'm not going to let life beat me.
No.
I think that's very important. However, what happened then, when I had all that done, I realized that what was missing was spirit. There was somehow this emptiness in the middle of my life. And that's when I started to realize that pulling back what you remember from the past isn't what it's about. It may help to balance things, but clearly something new has to happen. And there was no spirit.
Well, like, describe that. When you say something new has to happen, what would you suggest to people who are listening?
Basically, what happened when I realized that I had completed everything that I wanted, and I remember sitting down at the eve of my 50th birthday and writing a sort of goodbye letter and saying, you know, I've accomplished everything that I want, and thank you, and I'm ready to go, because I don't know what else there is. But that emptiness led me to some questions of, well, okay, what's missing here? And again, 50 was a big deal for me. I don't know if it is for other people, but it was a real, was sort of a half-century point. So I decided I was going to discover what it was like if I went out somewhere without my identity, without being a mother, a wife, a therapist, an aunt, without all those labels. And I took myself to the Grand Canyon, which I had heard was a very spiritual place, and I holed up in a little motel, and I just hung out on my own around the rim of the canyon. What happened there was that I was sitting meditating and watching the clouds one day, and there was nobody there. It was completely silent, and I got lost in time.
And
I
what?
Didn't realize how long I'd been there.
Uh-huh.
I started to get cold. And what happened when I got up is I felt that I had been truly seen for the first time in my life.
I can't quite hear you. Fully what?
Fully seen. Fully known.
Uh-huh.
It was a strange experience. And
I can imagine.
Had been missing in my
is
life.
That part of what you talk about with compassionate witnessing?
It relates to it.
Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah. Compassionate witnessing basically comes when you realize, through that connection with spirit, that we are all of it. In other words, I had to realize that I wasn't just the victim, but that both in this lifetime and especially in past lifetimes, I've also been the perpetrator. And I don't think you can have a real compassion for somebody until you realize how it is to walk in their shoes. Now, of course, the biblical teaching says that. And you can say, well, what would it be like to walk in your shoes? For me, I've been given the direct experience of how it felt, and I have remembered how it is. For instance, to be a Nazi. You know, here I was a victim of the Nazis, and I have been given to remember my lifetime as a Nazi. And this kind of thing has helped me to balance. And so when I see somebody who is mistreating somebody else, I can both empathize with the victim and with the person doing the creating the victimization. And through that, I have compassion for both and for all of it, without attachment. In other words, you know, I don't attach to I'm going to represent this one or represent that one. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know why, I was just thinking of something. Did you see the film The Secret?
Yes.
How do you think that The Secret really works for you?
Well, The Secret really works up to a point. And interestingly enough, the spiritual primer that I wrote, and I just realized that it's called primer, not primer. My pronunciation is still different. About the fourth eye, really adds a perspective to the perspective of The Secret.
Can you tell us what
you
mean by the fourth eye instead of the third eye?
Hello. Yeah. The third eye is basically the way we communicate with spirit. I can give you certainly an example of how manifesting what you want works. There was a very comical way.
Okay.
And one of those was that when I met my ex-husband, he was living one block away from North Shore Drive, Chicago, and I always had the ambition to live on a condo with a water view. So I imagined that when we got married, we'd move one block further and we'd have a condo on North Shore Drive. Well, he had other plans. We wound up in St. Petersburg, Florida. We did our marriage. I left the marriage. And then about 6 months after the marriage, I'm walking home to the condo I was now in St. Petersburg, Florida, 20 years later, and realized I had the condo I had dreamed of 20 years later on North Shore Drive, St. Petersburg.
So how does that relate to The Secret then?
Well, I manifested a condo on the waterfront. What I wasn't in charge of was I wasn't being specific. I didn't say I wanted it to be in Chicago. I didn't say I wanted it to be with my husband. I just envisioned this condo on North Shore Drive. Well, I got it 20 years later. In other words, thinking of what I wanted did cause the manifestation.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the way or in the timeline that I had in mind, because I really hadn't put that out there.
Yes.
So,
you think that it would have manifested in the timeline if you had put it out there? Is that your sense?
Well, there's no way of knowing that. You know, sometimes it's instant. I think what I've learned is that the understanding that our thoughts create our reality is very powerful, and it's very empowering. And we really do have to watch carefully what our thoughts are and notice the way in which they instantly manifest. I mean, here on Kauai, it's like momentary even. I got a new Mac. I wanted to make a recording, and within a week, there was a notice of somebody who had come in the island who was a Mac expert who happened to be a recording engineer. I mean, it was that fast.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
So this happens immediately. But the part that I'm understanding more from the perspective of the fourth eye is to understand that when we manifest and put in, if it's in the highest good for all, we need to understand that our life is intimately interconnected with other lives. So, for instance, it might be right for me to have had that condo on North Shore Drive, Chicago, like immediately after the marriage. But it wasn't in the best interest for all the journeys that were involved in that, my husband, the people and the energies that are affected.
Yes.
And so what I've learned through the fourth eye is that, yes, manifest you want and allow space for spirit. It's almost like it doesn't matter how much I expand my consciousness. I don't believe that as long as I'm in physical form, that I can encompass all the different journeys and all the different lives that are affected by my every thought and my every feeling. And the creation itself, in a way, is responsible for all of us, for how everything interconnects with everything else. Of course, that's inherent in sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm. What is the fourth eye?
The fourth eye is basically the eye of the aura. It's the eye that some people call it the chakra that is above the head. And it's almost like the eye of the universe, the eye of God. The third eye is that which connects us with that. But when we open the fourth eye, it's like we are in that space, yeah, that sees the all.
Yes, I understand. And hold that thought, Lisa, if you would please. We're going to be right back after station identification.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach somewhere, sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world, forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your dreaming spirit council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com. www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We're talking, Lisa, about the third eye and the fourth eye. And that's very interesting to me, the fourth eye being in the auric field. Mm-hmm. How do you access, when you yourself go into, I would imagine, into a sort of meditative state to access the fourth eye, can you explain to our listeners how they can do that and how they know if they're at the fourth eye?
That would be very difficult for me to do, because the information about the fourth eye really grew out of my experience of opening the third eye.
When was the first time that you ever felt the fourth eye?
Well, I can't say that it's a direct experience. It's more a larger knowing. And I have devised a powerful meditation, which I'm planning to put on the CD I'm about to create about the fourth eye. I've had some fourth eye discussion groups here, which has helped me and other people understand the material that came forth in this primer. And it really does give an experience of actually going beyond the third eye, which is the observing eye, and getting the experience of what it's like to be the observer of the observer. That's the closest I can get to it. Do you understand what I mean? When we get out of our physical and emotional and mental self and we observe all those aspects of ourself from the point of view of the third eye, then we are the observer self. And that's a bit like the third eye and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we move on beyond that and go into a space where we are observing all the observers, all the spirits, all the planets, all the beings, all the life forms, that's the experience of being in that space of the fourth eye.
I see. And you have, describe to us your transformational, holistic healing work, excuse me, with cellular memory and consciousness.
The way my individual consultations have evolved, again, has been out of my own experience. My experience has been that every new step has come to me through some kind of signal or discomfort in my body, which when I pursue it beyond the physical, and usually it's something that, you know, when I go to massage, I go to this and nobody has a physical explanation for it, it leads me to something that's in the tissue of my cells that I need to remember and transform for my own further development. So what I do now with cellular memory work is I help people get in touch with the consciousness of their cells.
Of their what?
The consciousness of the cells of their body.
Uh-huh, okay.
Call it self-consciousness, spelled C-E-L-L instead of S-E-L-F.
Right.
So it's cell consciousness.
Yes.
And when you get into a very relaxed state, and you get out of your mind, you really can tune in and imagine that you are the cell in the toe or in the finger or wherever it wants to take you. And then spirit, through that, can take you back to the first time that that discomfort occurred in your body. And depending on the person's consciousness and their spirit, that might be an incident last week, it might be an incident from childhood, it may be something from past life. Because the direction comes from the person's own inner healer, what will come forth is what's ready to be healed. So I might have anger at a boss in this lifetime, and I might find myself angry with all kinds of authority again and again and again. When I do this work, I may go back to a point in time, the first incident that happened that created this memory inside my body.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reprogram that memory, then that whole pattern, what I call the issue in the tissue, that whole program is instantly transformed on the spiritual, emotional, and physical level. It's extremely powerful work.
Well, I think that I've been working with the same thing
mm-hmm.
for many, many, many long years in my
uh-huh.
school,
yeah.
where I think when you have abuse in your life,
uh-huh.
that you retain memories in
oh, yeah.
your body of that abuse.
Yeah.
It is so severe
mm-hmm.
that when you feel it, you simply go into personality. And I have found that when somebody says, gosh, I want to become a dancer,
yeah.
I want to know from them, who is it within you that wants to be that dancer? Who is speaking? Is it your wounds that are speaking? Are you speaking through the veil of abuse and unconsciousness? Who is it that is talking to me? And when I, if you understand that there are two different mothers in, I think, energetically, in people. There's a rainbow mother, and there's the great nurturing mother, and then there's the dark side of those mothers. But you operate pretty much one or the other. If you're a great nurturing mother trying to be a rainbow mother because perhaps of the person you've married or your parents, then there's a tremendous stress in that person's life. If that stress is there, they don't know what their real dream is any more than if they have been abused and have never really healed those wounds. I talk in Jaguar Woman, excuse me, in great length about the sacred mothers, because I learned that from a Mayan teacher of mine and named Soyla, and it was fascinating to me. It opened up a whole new world to me, because if you are operating under an energy that is really not your own, but has been taught to you by your family, say, or even your society, and you become something that you're really not, you're completely confused about what it is that you really want to be and what it is that you really want to do. And that was one of the main things that I have worked on in the, certainly in the early part of my teaching. And then I moved into the work about abuse, because I realized that probably, I don't know whether you agree with me on this, Lisa, but I think about 90% of the people in the world have grown up out of abuse.
Oh, I agree with you entirely, which is why I think it's so important that we're working to transform that consciousness. And
yes, and to transform it, you can only really transform it by going back into it and identifying what is the result of that abuse. That's why I have my four-year school, is to help you to go back to that period of time when that abuse happened, so that you can find out where it lives in your body and heal it. We'll be back in one moment, just after station identification. We will be back with my wonderful guest, Lisa, if you'll hold on for one moment, please.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams, the dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your dreaming spirit council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com. www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio, on the web.
Lisa Raphael, you are a magnificent, compassionate, healing person who has written many books, about your experiences with the fourth eye and so forth. And we are discussing things that you see in the world about abuse. How, if someone comes to you and you realize that there is a stress in their life, but you can't really see it. They look like they're very successful, but you know that their happiness, it has not really manifested. What would be the first thing that you would do with them?
Well, what would be the first thing I would do with them now, because that's the focus of my work, is to try to bring them back to the cellular memory that contains the discomfort, the dissatisfaction.
Uh-huh. And how would you do that?
Well, I really do that by facilitate. I think through the breathing, I help people get into a very relaxed state where they're not in their mind. It's a sort of a light trance. And anybody can do that. It's not hypnotism. And then really guide them to start to listen to what wants to be revealed. Then they can then actually feel what it is that happened. And when we do that, we invite the person who has been abused to write a different script, literally. And that comes from their imagination. We create a new memory, basically. A memory where either this didn't happen or somebody came in to rescue. People make up wonderful stories, and they're always right for the person. If it's a child that was abused, she might bring in a fairy godmother. But what happens is that even though it's being reprogrammed in the past, it's also being reprogrammed in the body in the present. So that what happens that when we come out, that particular system and the behavior that's related to that has completely changed. So it sounds like it's very similar to what you're doing in your four-year program.
Well, it's fascinating to me because when you look out the world, there are whole societies today where they have incredible abuse in their schools, in their systems towards women. And when I know this to be law, that when you deny the woman, if you deny woman as an energy, you will eventually fail.
I entirely agree with you. Kauai is a very feminine energy, and all the guidance that's coming through you and through all the masters now is we need to bring the feminine back. We need to bring the goddess back.
Well, the goddess, I think, is coming back, but I think don't you agree, Lisa, it has to be in perfect balance with the masculine.
Of course.
You cannot have one without the other.
Exactly. The feminist movement where we went all into, we had to be more like men so that we could have some power, that's no longer it. A friend of mine, Leilani, has put it very well. She said, the men have the force, but the women represent the flow.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. And we balance very, very well together to make a beautiful harmony on Mother Earth. You cannot go into the human body or any life form without seeing the action, the movement of the male and female that creates the tourbillion, the swirl, the sacred swirl of life.
Exactly.
And it's represented in the winds, in your beautiful, beautiful trade winds, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most magnificent thing. If you know thyself, which sounds like such a simple thing, you absolutely know that the truths of life, the fourth eye, becomes open. I am convinced of that.
Yeah.
So, Lisa Raphael, tell us how the move to Kauai challenged and enhanced your spiritual understanding and evolution.
Well, it's a continuing journey, of course.
Of course it is.
Basically, because I came here with two suitcases and four boxes into a place where nobody knew my dramas, my history, nothing. It has been a little bit like the Grand Canyon experience, only with people. It's like coming into a society, into a land where I was seen solely for my energy and who I am now. So that has been very powerful. The other part of it has been that I've had some very dramatic memories of my lifetime in Lemuria. And again, that has come
up. Tell me, talk to us a little bit about Lemuria. I feel very strongly about Lemuria. Was there, did you ever sense a goddess or god religion there, or not religion, but a consciousness?
I think my understanding, actually my memory of the society that I was a part of at the original Lemuria, is very much like the new Earth that we're talking about birthing now. It was one where the feminine principle ruled, rather than being a matriarchal society, which is hierarchical.
Uh-huh.
It was like a society where there was an honoring of the elder, an honoring of the female, but also a sharing, almost like an Eden. In fact, a lot of people believe that Lemuria was the original Garden of Eden, and many of us here are in the process of rebirthing that way of living.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I think it's true. It's really interesting that you say that. My event that I'm giving in Hawaii, the 1st of December, is going to be about that. It's about talking to the ancients and bringing an understanding of Lemuria and Hawaii and the ancient gods and the energies that prevail there today.
Yeah. So I think that this is really the balancing that we need. I want to go back to what you asked about all the abuse in the world. I really think that if we can balance the male and female within ourselves in our own lives, that's the task. Because if we get involved in the political this way and that way, we're just feeding the polarities. I mean, everyone who becomes a perpetrator was a victim sometime. And so it goes on. Yeah, it goes on and on.
It's so true.
And you see abused
societies reaching out in warlike, strange ideas that are so primitively so primitively imperfect.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the excuse for war is that I've been victimized. So I'll go to war against the other, and the other one's going to say, well, you victimized me, whether it's 2,000 years ago or last week, and I'm going to have revenge on you.
And it's also the God war. You know, if you don't believe in my God, I kill you. You know, hold that thought, Lisa, that wonderful thought. And we'll be back in one moment after station identification.
www.lynandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynandrews.com.
A good life is essential, and that's why I listen to HealthyLife.net. And for nutritional support for me and my family, my business goes to HealthyLife.net affiliate, GNC LiveWell. It's the trusted name in the vitamin and supplement industry. And that's essential when you're the one responsible for your good health and the well-being of your family. GNC LiveWell has a multitude of convenient locations near you, and is always open on the internet at GNC.com. GNC Live Well. The name says it all.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams, the dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your dreaming spirit council through divine power and communication. Recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynandrews.com.
A healthy life needs no twists.
HealthyLife.net is best enjoyed straight up.
Lisa, Raphael, we are speaking together about the societies that we see in the world today that have abuse, that have been raised in abuse, and what, how do we deal with that? The God wars, for instance, in the name of God, I kill you, all of which seems to me so unbelievably ignorant. What are you feeling about all that?
Well, I think that anybody that we see as an authority that is not our own inner authority gets us into trouble. And I think that the big move is to recognize our own inner authority. And basically, it's very funny because in The Princess of Maldek, when that was coming through, one of the things that my guidance wrote was, believe nothing, including what's coming through this scribe. And I remember that. It came through in block letters. Believe nothing. So I think when we believe anything that's coming outside from our own deepest knowing, that's a problem.
Well, I think it is, because any kind of belief structure puts a fence around your consciousness, and then you don't go beyond that fence.
That's right.
And you're not open to things that are new and possible and have to do with higher levels of consciousness that maybe you have never visited.
Exactly, and that's what you're doing when you ask somebody who is asking the question. You're inviting them, as I do and as I've learned in my journey, to listen to that inner knowing, because the bottom line is that's the only thing we can really trust.
It's really true.
You know, we can have great friends, we can have great teachers, but we can really, really trust what's right for us in our gut. There's something else I wanted to bring up, Lynn.
Which, yes, Lisa.
Has been very new for me in Kauai, and yet it's an old story. And that is that my music has come into play in my work in a very different way.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. Tell our listeners about your musical background.
In my childhood, the only thing that made sense to me, that gave me any sense of connection, was music. And so I begged for piano lessons very early.
And you were in England, is that correct?
I was in Australia, actually.
In Australia, okay.
And so after high school, I studied piano, and I got a piano teacher's diploma, and that's as far as it went, because life took over, and I completely forgot about it. But I've always played the piano, and listening to music and playing has always been my pleasure and my hobby, but I never thought of it as really part of my work. So what has happened in Hawaii is that I find that people are really coming to my piano playing, and that it has to be part of my journey. Now, the strange thing about that is that when I took on the name Lisa Raphael in my mid-50s, it felt like a new name to me. But when the name came to me, I had a spontaneous flashback of practicing writing Lisa Raphael at 10 years old, when I was dreaming of becoming a concert pianist.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So it's another enormous piece that what I'm doing now is to reading from my books or presenting my books and giving little spontaneous, I wouldn't call them performances. I just play as the spirit moves me. There's no clapping. I put the candles out. It's just letting the spirit flow through my music. And this is a complete new movement. I'm going to be putting some of my music in with the CD I'm making of The Fourth Eye. It's going to be featured in, you know, a new website that I'm designing. And it's just a wonderful combination. And again, 50 years later or 60 years later, somehow my childhood dream is being incorporated in my work. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I think it's exciting and absolutely fabulous. Where can my listeners find you on the web?
Okay, www.lisaraphael.com is the main source. Right now they need also to look at www.lisaraphael.org, because there's been some mix-up with renewing my domain, and so for now my material is at .org. It's possible that by the time this is broadcast it'll be back on .com. But in any case, I'm planning to design a new website for the lisaraphael.org with my music on it. So I really invite people to try both at this point. www.lisaraphael.com or .org.
Well, Lisa, that's wonderful. And I don't think we finished our conversation on nations that are under abuse. What do you feel about that?
Well, I find it disturbing, but, you know, another part of me feels that the fact that it's happening so blatantly and all over the place and that there's no way to hide from it is that I almost feel like the old paradigm is dying out and it's in its fight, in its fighting for survival. The old way of being in vengeful and in war, we can't hide anymore. It's everywhere. And because it's coming up, it's like seeing their shadow. I think it's in response to so many of us waking up. Rather than thinking, isn't it getting worse, and so we have to wake up, I prefer to think that because so many of us are waking up and seeing the light and living peacefully and making that balance in our own lives, that that's why the violence is increasing.
Well, I think there is a death dance of the patriarch going on.
I agree with you.
Death dance looks like war.
Yeah.
And killing.
Yeah.
And extraordinary events that, unfortunately, our toys have become much bigger.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And those toys can destroy us all. However, I also feel that the earth is a schoolhouse.
Yeah.
And the schoolhouse is going to survive. We may not, but the schoolhouse will survive. The earth, Mother Earth, will certainly survive this. I don't know how much... what am I trying to say? I think that the humankind is like an hourglass. We're like sand, actually, going through that hourglass. And we started at the top, and now we're at the very end of the neck of the hourglass, so we're being squeezed and pressured, and we're moving through that hourglass with extraordinary, an extraordinary degree of force. As we come out the other end of that hourglass, it looks like chaos, but actually we are being united with our higher consciousness. If you would please hold on for station identification, I will return in a moment with Lisa Raphael.
www.lynandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynandrews.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Dig deep for the most complete and detailed credit reporting on the planet. It's creditinvest.com. With creditinvest.com, you can capture more usable information in less time and at a lower cost than the current industry leaders. So dig deep
but keep your money in your business. For the best credit reporting, visit creditinvest.com or call 877-577-7573. 877-577-7573 today.
Use Royal Essence Organic Bulgarian Rose Water and stress will melt away. Emotions become balanced. Skin will be healed, moisturized, and tightened. Produced in the Valley of Roses in Bulgaria, Royal Essence Organic Bulgarian Rose Water comes from the highest quality rose oil in the world. For thousands of years, rose water has been prized for its cosmetic and medicinal purposes. And now, you can get the best. Visit RoyalEssence.com or call 949-357-9389. That's 949-357-9389.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Lisa, it has been so wonderful speaking with you. I wish we had hours and hours to talk. Maybe we'll see each other in Hawaii in the first of... thank you so very much for listening to my show. If you would like more information about Lisa Raphael, can you give that to us, Lisa?
It's the phone number is 808-346-5293. The website is www.lisaraphael.com. or www.lisaraphael.org.
Thank you so much for joining us, and please return to my next show, 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time, every month. And in the meantime, may there be soft winds in your life. Until next time, explore your dreams and embrace that distant shore. Thank you so very, very much for listening, and thank you, Lisa, for being on our show.
Thank you, Lynn. I look forward to next time.
Yes, I as well.
Okay, bye.